Daddy likes 1-0 hockey games. I'm all in on Hitch hockey, and I hope you are too. We'll get to your thoughts on the game last night, the Boston Pizza inbox for Boston Pizza. Did someone say hockey?
Hockey?
On game days, 12-ounce sleeves of Molson Canadian and Coors Light, just $4. And those scrumptious medium pizzas are just $19.99. You can only get them at Boston Pizza. Today on the show, Glenn Suter in the second hour, and this is Suter's final visit with us this season, this CFL season. Of course, you know that it was a Grey Cup to kind of remember. The party was great. The game itself, not so much, but that doesn't matter. We're going to look back at that game and at the entire CFL season, and maybe more importantly for this, look ahead. This is an off-season fraught, Matty, with peril. Collective bargaining agreement at the top of the to-do list, and there are free agent quarterbacks, one in this town, and there are some elsewhere around the Canadian Football League. We will get to all of that. Glenn Suter at 1:20 today, and at 12:40, we're going to have a little fun with this. The book is called We Want Fish Sticks. If I just left it there, you'd be confused, because we are not talking about that delicious food item, frozen food item. We're talking about the rebranding of the New York Islanders back in the mid-90s, the Gorton's Fisherman logo, the oi matey. It was emblematic of a terrible time in that franchise's history. More importantly, it's a lesson in how sports teams and good ones, iconic franchises, and the Islanders were winning 4 Stanley Cups, how they lose their way through mismanagement, bungling. This new book, We Want Fish Sticks, is a terrific oral history of that time, and they dig deep into the mascot. Yes, you know, we were all caught up in Gritty. You don't remember Niles, do you? The Islanders mascot, because I do.
I'm trying to remember the mascot.
And he had a goal light that turned on top of his head when the Islanders scored, and fans used to beat him up.
What?
Yeah, so we'll get to all of that. Yep, Nick Hershon is the author of We Want Fish Sticks. We'll talk to him at 12:40. That book on Amazon, December 1st. So we'll hang with the Oilers. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere. But Nick Hershon has written a really, really well done book, well researched oral history of a bad period in the timeline and the history of the New York Islanders. We Want Fish Sticks next on TSN 1260.
You're listening to The Dave Jamieson Show.
With no rules.
On demand.
Dave Jamieson, Matthew Wanick. Occasionally, as his health permits, he jumps into the play. We will hear from him later, and we'll get to the Boston Pizza inbox in a little bit. Glenn Suter at 1:20 today. A look back at the Canadian Football League season and the Grey Cup, and a look ahead. We'll cast our eyes off into the distance. This is a very important offseason for the Canadian Football League. With us now, Nick Hershon. He is the author of a new book, great read, called We Want Fish Sticks, the Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders. Nick, I remember all of this quite well, but I'm telling you, going through your book, this it conjured some great memories, not all of them fond, but some great memories. What made you want to tackle this part, and it's a bad part of a franchise's history?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those stranger-than-fiction stories, right? And thanks again for having me on to talk about it. I grew up as an Islanders fan, but I also was a working reporter for the New York Daily News for many years. And when I got into my PhD program, because I ended up becoming a journalism professor, I needed to explore some project at length, some topic that was going to interest me, that I was going to be passionate about, but also that had never been told before. And there haven't been many books written about the history of the Islanders. Of course, we associate them mostly with winning the 4 straight Stanley Cups in the early 80s, but I thought sometimes the more interesting story is in the losing locker room, and to see what really went on with this rebranding that was failed in the mid-90s when they introduced the Fisherman logo, which has gone down as one of the worst sports redesigns of all time.
Now, the Fisherman logo, I mean, I think everybody is certainly who listens to a show like this is going to be aware of it on some level, but it is the, I guess, the public-facing piece of what really was. You know, that was an iconic NHL franchise, not an original six, but as you say, won 4 Stanley Cups, and it's hockey royalty hanging from the rafters. I mean, Al Arbour and Billy Smith and Clark, I mean, go on and on and on. But what happened in that 1994 series against the Rangers that really kind of, it was like the hard out to that era, and why did they feel they needed to go a different way?
Well, for years, Long Island has felt inferior to New York City. It's in the shadow of Madison Square Garden, and the Islanders just became the kind of, you know, stepbrothers. And when the Islanders then win the four straight Stanley Cups in the early 80s, finally Long Island has something to be proud about, something that we're dominant in that New York City can't lay claim to, because the Rangers had not won a Stanley Cup in 54 years until they finally win in 1994. So the Rangers and the Islanders play each other in this first-round series. The Islanders are embarrassed to get outscored 22-3 in that series, and then the Rangers go on to win their first Stanley Cup in many years and become the toast of the town. Meanwhile, the Islanders are left trying to scramble, figure out how can we become relevant again, how can we regain the mystique that we had. And ownership started to worry that fans were associating the original Islanders logo with the NY and the Long Island map with the futility of losing to the Rangers, their arch rivals, instead of all the names that you mentioned, Al Arbour and Mike Bossy and Clark Gillies and the rest. So one way they try to differentiate themselves is, let's look to our roots as a Long Island team. Let's try to disassociate ourselves a little bit from New York City. Mm-hmm. And the fisherman becomes an icon of that. What else does Long Island have? Well, we have a seafaring heritage. So maybe go with some sort of imagery relating to crabs or seagulls and beaches. And they come up with all these different things. And eventually they settle on this iconic mariner that has a hockey stick in his hands, but looks suspiciously like the guy on the Gordon's frozen seafood box, unfortunately.
Now, how does Billy Joel factor into this? Because there's a layer of all of this to this story, isn't there?
Yeah, so the Islanders, when they're thinking in the summer of 1994, okay, we need to rebrand, they're thinking, what's a good image of Long Island? And there's not a lot of obvious things. So one of the first things that people come up with Long Island is, well, Billy Joel is one of our favorite sons. He not only is from Long Island, but he's a proud Long Islander. He sings about it in his music. And in particular, there was a song called Downeaster Alexa that came out in 1989, where he's singing about the struggles of East End fishermen. And the music video, which came out the next year, shows these men from the East Hampton Baymen's Association. It's a group on Long Island that represents fishermen's interests. And he does benefit concerts for the Baymen and has this long affiliation with them and talks about how they're the last vestige of this vanishing Long Island that he knew growing up. So the Islanders think, well, we can pick up on the celebrity of Billy Joel. Maybe we can get him out to some games. He can become like Jack Nicholson at the Lakers games or Spike Lee at the New York Knicks games. We can get that kind of celebrity appeal. But unfortunately, Billy Joel politely declines and never shows up to a game, doesn't come to the press conference that he's invited to when they unveil the fisherman jerseys. But the Islanders do invite all those guys from the East Hampton Baymen's Association, the same fishermen that appeared in that Downeaster Alexa music video. They invite those guys to come to the press conference at Nassau Coliseum when the logo is unveiled in June of 1995. But they don't really get the full extent of what they thought they were going for, because Billy Joel was so popular. So if he had said, you know, I anoint this the best new logo in sports, then probably a lot of Long Islanders would have agreed and gone along with it, at least for a while.
Nick Hirshon joins us here on TSN 1260. The book is We Want Fish Sticks, the Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders, out December 1st on Amazon and then soon thereafter wherever you can buy books. We'll get to the logo in a minute, because there were things happening in hockey at that time, new teams coming in. But I need to skip ahead to the mascot, because as part of this, I remember the mascot was not embraced, literally and figuratively, but he was described by some as a cross between a fire hydrant and Grizzly Adams. Fans booed him upon seeing him, and then, do I have this correct, the guy in the suit was a recovering alcoholic and a cocaine addict?
That's right, and had struggled with depression. There was a lot of things that went wrong with this mascot. So it's actually the first stage of their rebrand is in the shortened season in 1995, where they say, let's test out fans' appetite for any sort of change to our brand by unveiling a new mascot. And at first they unveil him without any sort of a name. He eventually becomes known as Niles, which stands for NY Isles, the Islanders' nickname. But he does just look really bizarre, and he went a few different iterations. But one of them, and the one that actually graces the cover of my book, it just looks like some guy with a big red beard, bushy eyebrows. He has a hockey helmet on and a goal light atop that is supposed to light up whenever the Islanders score a goal. And unfortunately, in those years, that didn't light up very often because they weren't that good. But yeah, they unveil him, and fans immediately view him as the living embodiment of this change to their beloved franchise. And they don't want to see those dynasty era players being disrespected or moving away from them. I mean, they're still only a decade removed from the last time the Islanders had won a Stanley Cup at that time. So they abuse him in the stands. And the gentleman you mentioned who played the mascot originally, Rob DiFiore, was recovering from cocaine addiction. He had depression. He had alcoholism. So he is being, going through a lot in his personal life, and he has demons. And then meanwhile, the Islanders put him in this very bulky, heavy costume. It's hard for him to get through the stands to greet fans. Kids are kicking him. He recalls being at a street hockey clinic at one point, and some kid whacks him in between the legs, and he says he always wore a cup after that when he was at one of those events. Actually, the way that he ends up leaving the team, Rob DiFiore playing the mascot, is he's waiting to go out to Nassau Coliseum to get into his mascot's outfit, and he used to wear a motorcycle battery around his waist that would charge that goal light atop his helmet, and it catches fire, and he has to quickly shed this outfit. And he realizes, I'm not getting health benefits. I'm not a full-time employee of the Islanders. Maybe this is something I should be asking a little bit more out of. And he goes to the Islanders and makes some demands of them, and they immediately just cut him loose and say, forget it, then we can replace you. So that is a part of this book I didn't think would resonate with many people, but a lot of people have picked up on their love or hate for Niles the mascot.
We'll get to the logo in a minute and the crazy jerseys and the weird numbers and all the other stuff, but the team was unraveling. You had the Kirk Muller, he didn't want to be there, and then as you said, you're coming out of the lockout, and then the GM at the time, Don Maloney, said that Brett Lindros, and God, I want to make sure I got this right, that the Islanders got the better Lindros.
That's right. Yeah, it's incredible to look back, right? And I look at, through my research, I was going through all the old Islanders programs from the time, and of course, all the comments that the Islanders general manager Don Maloney or the coach Mike Milbury was making to the media, and it's stunning how they were playing up all of these guys who were untested rookies who had just been drafted, and to make a comment like, we got the better Lindros, even if Brett Lindros became an amazing player, which he seemed to be on a trajectory to become a pretty good, not his brother, but a pretty good, reliable player, it's guaranteeing some sort of a letdown for the fans. And then, of course, trading for Kirk Muller, which you mentioned, was another disaster where the Islanders trade away Pierre Turgeon, who had been one of their marquee stars for a while, and Vladimir Malakhov to Montreal, and they get Kirk Muller and Matthew Schneider in that deal. And Schneider ends up being an all-star, but originally Kirk Muller refuses to report to the team. And they're making up all these excuses about, he has passport problems, he has some sort of personal issue he wants to attend to, or he's just emotionally upset about leaving the Canadiens, the team he'd captain to a cup. But they were viewing him as being this veteran leader and this face of the Fisherman rebrand. And meanwhile, he won't even show up for the first few games. And then when he finally does come, he infuriatingly makes statements to the media about the one advantage of my game is I come to play every single night, meaning that when he's on the ice, he gives his all. But it's really a weird comment to make after you've just refused to report for your first few games. Really? You show up every night? Because you didn't for the last few times we really needed you.
So you've got this, the rebrand in progress. You've got the team struggling on the ice. There's confusion around it. Nobody seems to quite know what they're doing. And then the out comes the logo. And it was, I don't know, and I was in Vancouver when the Canucks changed from the old hockey stick in the rink to the flying skate and all of that. I don't know if I've seen a reaction and backlash to a logo quite like that Islanders, fish stick logo.
Yeah, I think that the ownership of the time really miscalculated this logo. They didn't realize the affinity that fans had for that original Islanders logo because it was so associated with the glory of the Stanley Cups. And sports logos, people have emotional attachments just because we remember the games we went to with our dads. We remember all the other memories that are associated with that and our favorite players. So the Islanders, this was right before the third jersey program came out. So they decided we are going to completely go away from our traditional logo that fans love and replace it with this Gordon's Fisherman. So that was a problem. No matter what new logo they unveiled, even if it was going to be amazingly aesthetically pleasing, it was going to be met with resistance. But then also, they did really no focus group testing beforehand, no interviews with fans. So there was no one to even say, you know, this looks a lot like the Gordon's Fisherman. And there were just a whole bunch of problems with the rollout. We mentioned Billy Joel not wanting to be involved. At the press conference where they unveil it, also Kirk Muller is in attendance as one of the standard bearers, but he's already public enemy number one on Long Island because he had refused to report to the team earlier. So fans start protesting. They write letters to the editor of the local paper. You know, the local paper actually, Newsday at the time, put out a survey asking fans, you know, mail us your thoughts on this logo, and do the Islanders even need to change? What else could they have put as part of their logo? And it just becomes an easy way for fans to mock the team. And then when the Islanders are playing the Rangers in November of 1995, the Rangers fans start mocking the Islanders with this chant of, "We want fish sticks." And that ends up being the title of my book, because it's the enduring legacy of this and just kind of encapsulates all the embarrassment that Islanders fans had. There was a report in the paper at the time that two Rangers fans actually were walking around Madison Square Garden where the Rangers play and wearing the Gordon's Fisherman outfit to mock the Islanders at this game. And some of those things still go on today. You know, you still go to an Islanders-Rangers game and there'll be "We want fish sticks" chant, even though it's been, you know, more than 20 years since they last wore it on the ice.
Nick, it's a great read. Best of luck with this book, "We Want Fish Sticks, The Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders," out December 1st on Amazon. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Dave.
All right, Nick Kershaw on there.
The Lowdown.
It is a great read. And if you don't have to be an Islanders fan, Maddie, it's almost like a case study in how to screw up. There were lots of things going on, hockey side and marketing side, and where an ownership is out of touch with the fans. Just completely in a bubble. And that original Islander logo, I learned this in the book, it took 3 days. And a guy did it by hand. And it worked, right?
Aren't those our favorite franchises?
Oh.
The ones that mess it up for so many years. There needs to be at least a handful of them in sports at every given time that just don't know what they're doing, that just get it wrong every single time.
Well, you know, people say that about this team in this town. The one enduring thing is that they have not screwed with the logo. They messed around with the colors and that kind of thing, and they had that weird whatever that thing was, that flying, what was that thing? The third jersey that they get.
The Todd McFarlane, you're talking about that one?
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying, yeah.
The one that had multiple meanings that...
Right, yes.
It was the three things for the three decades of the Oilers and all that.
Yeah, I got all of
five
that.
Five bolts for the five Stanley
Cups. But I mean, say what you want, at least the Oilers, for the most part, haven't screwed up that part of their identity.
It hasn't got to a point that somebody wants to do a book on it yet.
No, exactly. All right,
that's when you know you've really screwed it up.
A Sports Center update coming at the top of the hour. We'll get back to the Boston Pizza inbox, and then Glenn Suter will join us at 1:20.